Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom? And welcome to episode 30 of the Great British Chiefs Show with your boys from the Kingdom, representing the Kingdom, myself, Brad Simcox, and our headlines editor, Tom Childs. This week, Tom and I will be taking a look at the Chiefs playoff outlook. We'll also be checking out the Arrowhead Pride power rankings before looking ahead to the Chiefs' Week 13 opponents, the Denver Broncos. But first...
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Curly Culp for enshrinement into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Chad Culp.
What did you miss most about the game of football after you retired?
The camaraderie, the teamwork. You know, it's kind of hard to explain the unity that you feel in that locker room. You know, you got brothers, and you're all working for a common goal. And you connected, and those experiences are with you for a lifetime.
Over the bye week, Chiefs Kingdom has been mourning the loss of one of its heroes, Curly Culp, after his battle against pancreatic cancer. He was 75 years old. Culp was one of 9 Hall of Famers from that legendary Chiefs team that still lives strong in the memory of Chiefs fans today, young and old. Tom and I wanted to dedicate the start of the show to Curly Culp and recognize his achievements in life and to send our love and admiration to Curly Culp and his family at this very sad time. Curly will be remembered as one of the greats of the game, and it's true what they say, true legends never die.
Hey, hey.
Yeah, sad times, mate. It really is sad times. You know, obviously people can't live forever, but, you know, it's... When you have a player like Curly Culp, you know, who was a big guy in stature as well as the size that he was, you know, it's a real shame. I mean, he only just announced a few days ago, I think it was last week, that he was suffering from pancreatic cancer. And, you know, it was a bit of a shock to everyone because of how sudden it was as well.
Yeah, for sure. Some people like to keep that sort of thing to themselves. And rightfully so. It's their business. It's not ours. All I want to say is, like, we aren't going to have a legacy like his. A lot of people don't get an opportunity to have a legacy like his. He earned his legacy. And as you said in your brief little monologue there, that he's going to live on forever. He's immortalized in the terms of Chiefs history. So, yeah, I'll send our thoughts, obviously, to his family. But, yeah, the Curly Culp legend will forever live on.
For sure, mate, for sure. Should we talk about some happier news? Obviously, you know, we're talking about the death of a legend there, but one of our legends here has a new life in the world.
He does, yeah. The birth of a legend, so we say. I had my third baby. I had it. He chose to give me the entirety of Thanksgiving week off. I already had 4 days off for Thanksgiving, which was great because we shut the website down basically for 4 days. And then my little boy decided to come along a few days before that and give me the rest of the week off. So, boy. Nice. Yeah, he's here. He's healthy. Mum's healthy. I've still not gone back to work yet. I go back to work on Monday. So I'm enjoying my time off with him. But yeah, so far he's a dream. All he does is sleep. Everyone says about how newborns are hard, but we've been really lucky with our three. They've popped into the world and they're already bored of their dad singing that they want to go to sleep all the time. So it's great.
The funny thing was as well, he was born actually on Chiefs game day, wasn't he?
He was. He was born on the day the Chiefs played the Cowboys. And
he was wanting to see that game, wasn't he?
It was touch and go whether I was actually going to get to watch the game or not. But the hospital, because of COVID, it got to 8 o'clock in the evening and the hospital were like, right, you got to go now because of COVID. And I was like, oh, gutted. Drove home, watched the game.
Oh, that's a shame. See ya. Oh, welcome to the world. You've named him, haven't you, as well?
We have. On the last show, I talked about an NFL quarterback that he was named after. Little did you know that it would be that Jets bust Zach Wilson. Yeah. Zachary Childs. That's what we've named him. Yep. So I've got Henry, lovely, Barney, and Zach.
Yeah, I was annoying you a little bit on the day he was born because I was going Lamar Russell. I just kept sending you all these names, didn't I? And you were like, okay, I'll tell you if you get it, Brad. But
do you know what? This is a true story. It's quite funny. About 4 weeks ago, my brother was around and he said to me and Amy, he was like, oh, so have you got a name sorted? And I was like, yeah, we've got a name. We decided it back in July. We know what it is. He goes, you're going to tell me? I was like, absolutely not, because it's only for a few weeks and you'll find out anyway. And he goes, you have to be really careful with names. He goes, you have to have something that goes. He goes, you can't just have like Henry, Barney and Zachary, can you?
No way.
I kid you not. And Amy and I's poker faces were well and truly out. I don't know how I didn't start like bursting out laughter in front of him. But yeah, of all the names he picked the one name that we're going to use. But you've had a tough time of it yourself. Like, I've had it pretty easy the last couple of weeks, but you've had it bad because you've been suffering from the Rona, haven't you?
I have, mate. I got the dreaded Rona in the end after nearly 2 years of sidetracking it and getting away with, you know, just not being in that kind of ill state. I suddenly got it. But I mean, I count my blessings really, because it was happening during a Chiefs bye week. So it didn't affect my Chiefs scheduling. It didn't affect anything that. So at least it was a bit more, it was a bit more thoughtful about when I was going to get it. But exactly. Yeah, I've been pretty rough, mate.
I just love the convenience of my baby being born at the right time, you catching COVID at the right time. It was like, oh, the Chiefs got a bye week. What life events can we throw at Brad and Tom?
Yeah, I'm getting out of the woods now, though. So I think having both my jabs was helpful, I think, because I didn't get it as bad as I thought I was going to. I've had worse. I actually had swine flu years and years and years ago.
Really?
And that was worse than this, believe it or not.
Okay. So, we won't talk about vaccinations and whether people should get it or not, because that can be a touchy subject.
Oh, God, yeah. People will be switching off, mate. But, yeah, we're back again, obviously, with our kind of Thanksgiving off, which we don't celebrate Thanksgiving, but thank you, America, for giving us that time off. Yeah. Hope everybody enjoyed themselves and had turkey dinners and got together with friends and family and saw Thanksgiving in the proper way. But we're back. We're here to talk about the Chiefs again every Wednesday leading up to the Super Bowl. And we're here to talk about the AFC.
I love the conviction.
Love the conviction.
Just love the conviction. We talked a couple of weeks ago about swagger. Yours is well and truly back. Yeah, we're here to talk about the Chiefs up until the Super Bowl. It's like, didn't even
bat got my swagger eye. Back.
Like, I can see you right now. For the people that don't know that, we do this over a video calling app, should we say, and we record it from that. And I can see Brad. And honestly, he was deadly serious when he sat there and said, yeah, we're going to talk about the Chiefs until the Super Bowl. He doesn't even care. The lack of respect that he has for the other teams now because the Chiefs have found something on defense is unbelievable.
We're definitely getting our swagger back, I think, for sure. Yeah. I mean, we obviously had to sit on the sidelines and watch Week 12 and all the dramas that happened in Week 12. And, I mean, obviously one of the big games, which we'll get to in a minute, obviously the Broncos beating the Chargers. But the other ones that were happening, obviously we were really kind of, we're at this stage now, aren't we, in the season where everybody's kind of looking at who's available for the playoffs, who's going to be able to get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And there's always kind of like a shock team that's hanging around that's in amongst it all. But it seems like looking at it, the whole of the entire AFC, it's like almost everybody is either in with a chance or in the hunt.
For sure. Like, we're in that silly season now where you just don't support one team a week. You support like seven because like you want the Chiefs to win, of course, but then also you want the the Ravens to lose. So you're supporting the Browns. You want the Patriots potentially to lose. So this week we're going to support the Bills. Like it's crazy because your rooting interest has just like doubled, tripled, quadrupled overnight because you are everything you watch, you know, has a knock-on effect in terms of seedings and standings. But you're right. The AFC is absolutely bonkers. Right now, I'm only happy to rule three teams out of the AFC playoff race, and that being the Jaguars, the Texans, and the Jets. The Dolphins have played themselves back into the race. The Steelers are in the race still, even though Big Ben's playing terribly. The Browns, despite Baker Mayfield's injury, still in the playoff race. All four teams in the AFC West are in the hunt for the division, not necessarily just a playoff spot, the division. This playoff race is absolutely bonkers. And we've got seven teams set in the playoff positions right now. There's no way in hell it's going to be those seven teams come the end of the season. Yeah. There's going to be another team that plays their way into it. One of those teams is going to drop out. Like, you wouldn't even sit here and now and say all four of those division leaders in the Ravens, the Patriots, the Titans, and the Chiefs, you wouldn't say all four of them are safe. Every single one of them can be replaced. So this next few weeks of the season, how many weeks have we got left? Was it 6 weeks we got left of the season? It is going to be absolutely bonkers.
It's definitely getting down to the wire. And like you were saying, you know, this can change a lot really quickly. I mean, we've obviously seen what's happening with the likes of the Titans. You know, they've suddenly starting hitting some kind of blot in their kind of season at the moment. And, you know, injuries can do that, especially for your talisman players. Like, you know, obviously like Henry has been out injured, and that's predominantly their attack. That's the problem, predominantly their offense, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't help when AJ Brown and Julio Jones are also out. And they released Josh Reynolds only a few weeks ago as well. Like, the Titans have been unlucky. Like, a few weeks ago, they were sat in there, 7-2? Was it 8-2? And everyone was like thinking that they were going to be the clear number one seed, especially after they went into LA and knocked them off. And obviously, they destroyed the Chiefs as well. And then the injury bug happened. And they went into Sunday's game against the Patriots. And did anyone really give them a chance? No, because you just knew what the Patriots defense was going to do to the Titans offense, especially when they're lacking so many stars. So the Titans are kind of out of the race for the number one at the moment, even though they're basically there at 8-4. They're not the team I'm looking at thinking, oh, they're the team that the Chiefs have to overtake to get the number one seed. I'm looking at the likes of the Ravens and the Patriots. They're the two teams at the moment that I've kind of highlighted thinking they're the ones we need to get ahead of.
Yeah, especially the Patriots. Obviously, you know my views on the Patriots. I hate the Patriots with a passion. But seeing them doing so well as well, especially with a quarterback that they've got in Mac Jones, who, you know, he's not one of those kind of lights out worldly players, but he's doing a job and he's part of the system that is. We always fable this system quarterback at the Patriots, don't we? Yeah. Obviously, Tom Brady was this system quarterback. Now they've got this other system quarterback in Mac Jones, and I don't like it. It gives me that unfunny feels that they've got this quarterback who's just doing the basic. He's doing the usual thing.
Are you trying to say that Josh Daniels makes it really easy on his quarterbacks?
Yeah.
It's funny thing you say about Mac Jones, right? Because I've just seen a minute ago that he won the NFL UK Player of the Week. And fair enough, he won Player of the Week. Like, the Patriots had a dominating victory. We all know how they got on against the Titans. But he won Player of the Week with a stat line of 310 yards and two touchdowns and a 67% completion percentage. And when I saw that stat line, I thought, that's a really like pedestrian Patrick Mahomes game. Yeah. And so I did some digging and I wanted to look at Patrick Mahomes' career averages. And Mahomes' career average, his average is 304 yards a game and two and a bit touchdowns. So Mahomes' averages is basically the type of performance that Mac Jones has to put in to win Player of the Week of the entire NFL. Now, I know you can take this with a pinch of salt and say, oh, these type of awards are a fan vote. So, of course, a Patriots player in England is going to do really well. Why the Patriots have such a huge support in England, I do not understand, because you only have to look at what the New England Patriots stand for and the history behind their logo and their team. I think it's like the most anti-British thing ever. I just don't understand it. But something about winning Super Bowls or something like that, I should imagine. But yeah, the bigger point was, and I tweeted it out, not to mock Mac Jones, but more to highlight that how great Patrick Mahomes has been. And you can sit here and say, oh, Tom, you're shoehorning in another Mahomes loving section. Well, yeah, I want to. I love Patrick Mahomes. What can I care? I wanted to call my son Patrick Mahomes. I'm not Patrick Mahomes. I wanted to call him Patrick. Imagine.
Patrick Mahomes' child.
Imagine if I just depoled his name and changed his surname to Patrick Mahomes. Imagine.
You did it on the sly without your missus.
I've got three kids: Henry Charles, Barney Charles, and Patrick Mahomes. No, I wanted to call him Patrick, but Amy couldn't handle him being the second favourite Patrick in my life. So yes,
I can just imagine that. If you just, I'll, don't worry, dear, I'll register the baby's name. You have it. You put your feet up.
Surname Mahomes.
Oh, I bet it's been done, mate. I bet it's been done.
I bet it has.
The other teams I've been looking at in the AFC that have been a bit of a surprise are the Bengals.
Yeah, I love it.
The Bengals are in the wild card spot as we speak right now, which I mean, I do like to see it. I do like the Bengals. I think they've had a bit of a rough time over the years. And, you know, to have the Bengals as somebody like that in the mixing pot is obviously great for football as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said before, in the hunt teams, you know, there's some teams in there that, again, you wouldn't have actually thought it. The Dolphins, like you said before, they started the season 1-7. They're now 5-7.
Yeah, it's crazy. And playing really good football as well. Playing really, really good football.
Definitely a dark horse at the minute.
I don't know their remaining schedule, to be honest, but you wouldn't put it past them, like racking off a few more wins the way they're playing, regardless of opponents, so they can play themselves into. What's the number, do you think, to get into the playoffs? How many wins do you need? Do you need 10, or will 9 get you in?
The way it's going this year, 10, definitely. I think 9.
I think so.
9 would be a sneaky one for a couple of those teams, I think. 10's a definite, I think, but 9 would be definitely the one that, you know, would stand you in good stead to at least get into some kind of wild card slot.
I'm not too sure. I think you're going to need 10 wins to get in. You look at the top 7, have all got, well, outside of the Chargers, have all got 7 wins at the moment. So you fancy all of those teams to get 3 more wins over the season.
Yeah.
And then it only takes one of what? 5 teams to win four of their last 6, only one to get to 10. I don't think 9 is going to be enough. And I think the Chiefs get there comfortably. I think the Chiefs get to their 10 wins. It's just how many more wins on top of that they can add to steal the number one seed. I'm looking at the number one seed race now and thinking the Chiefs need to get ahead of the Patriots. They need to get ahead of the Ravens. Currently, they're 1 game back from the Patriots. They're 1.5 games back from the Ravens, and obviously the Ravens hold the tiebreaker. The Patriots hold the tiebreaker in terms of conference record over the Chiefs, so they need to get a game out in front of them. So the Chiefs probably, if you're being realistic, to get ahead of the Patriots and the Ravens, they probably need to run the table, if not probably maybe drop one game. But they can't afford to drop any more than one game. And now you're looking at their opponents. They've got the AFC West. They've got the Broncos twice in that. They've got the Bengals and the Steelers. It's not the most like daunting of schedule, but I think 4 of them are at home, and that might play out to their advantage. But I'm looking at the Patriots schedule as well, and they've got the Bills twice, the Colts, the Jags, and the Dolphins. So they haven't got exactly a cupcake schedule themselves outside of the Jags. So maybe they might be able to drop a couple. The Ravens, again, they haven't got the easiest of schedule. They've got the Steelers, the Browns, the Packers, the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Rams. So the Ravens, like, they're fortunate enough to be at 8-3. They probably could be 5-6, to be honest. So I doubt that they don't drop just one or no games. I think they'll drop a couple at least. So maybe it's there. There's definitely an avenue for the Chiefs to be the number one seed, and starting with beating the Broncos this Sunday.
I think how the season started, I think we'd happily forego the number one seed at the moment and just be happy to be in the playoffs.
Nah.
I think that's the thing. Would you not agree with that?
I suppose, yeah, if you're looking at it through the eyes of us in September, late September, then yeah. Because I sat on the show with Rocky and said the way they were playing, they weren't going to make the playoffs. And obviously they turned it around. But now here we are on December 1st, and they're only a game and a half back from the number one seed. Then I think the goal right now should be the number one seed, should be to host the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead for a 4th successive season. And looking at the schedules, and if they can play the way they did in the last two or three weeks, then they should be able to achieve this.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs remain in schedule. It looks as though that every single one of those teams that the Chiefs plays is in contention of getting into the playoffs at some point. There's some that are in the hunt still, and there's definitely one that's in the wild card at the moment, which is obviously the Bengals. But, you know, it's like you said, there's no cakewalks at the minute with these last few remaining games. And, you know, Broncos, like you said, are not going to be the ones that you're going to be able to roll over, because they've already beaten, you know, the Cowboys and the Chargers, which, you know, you would put your house on the fact that the Broncos were going to lose that game or those games. And look what happened.
Yeah, it's a crazy NFL season. It's a season where no one wants to be particularly good, or every team decides they're going to be mediocre. Any team can beat any team, and it's been proven in the last few weeks that no team is safe. You only have to look at the LA Rams and look how badly they're doing recently. And after making the signings and the acquisitions that they have made, everyone thought, oh, they're a shoo-in for the Super Bowl, and they don't look particularly great. I think you can only really turn around and say that the truly great teams of the NFL at the moment are the Cardinals and the Packers. Outside of that, the Chiefs are a good team, but let's see it a bit more on a consistent basis. Let's see the whole team firing, where the Cardinals and the Packers, you're seeing it on both sides of the football all the time now, every single week. The way the Packers dominated the Rams was just phenomenal. They were in third gear the whole time, and they always had the Rams at arm's length. They looked like if they needed to go up a gear, they could quite easily put the game out of reach, then drop back down into third again. And you look at the Cardinals, they're winning with Colt McCoy and without DeAndre Hopkins. That's the sign of a good team. And I didn't think a team run by Cliff Kingsbury was capable of doing this, but they're so loaded. And the two juggernauts of the NFL right now are certainly in the NFC.
Right. I think we'll take a break there. When we come back, we'll be looking at the Arrowhead Pride Power Rankings, and we'll also be looking ahead to the Chiefs matchup against the Broncos.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Great British Chiefs Show with your boys from the Kingdom, Brad and Tom. We're going to be looking at the Arrowhead Pride Power Rankings briefly before we're moving on to the Week 13 matchup against the Broncos. So, Tom, our Arrowhead Pride Rankings accumulator, shall we say?
Accumulator?
I don't know.
Like you could use extraordinaire or something like that. Like use
guru. Guru. Let's use guru.
I'm going to start referring to you as my friend now. I'm just going to refer to you as my colleague from now on.
My colleague.
Yeah. Cheers, mate. Another week of rankings. Thank you to Pete for filling in for me last week whilst I was having a baby. Done a great job. Excellent stuff. I can't take credit for having the baby, being there, should we say.
You went home at 8 o'clock, mate.
Yeah, I made it. I think I did anyway.
Where are the Chiefs this week?
They're fourth. They're still fourth.
Yes! We're in the top five.
They are the top-ranked AFC team. despite not being top of the rankings, the Arrowhead Pride team believe that the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, and I tend to agree with them. Performances matter, and when we're doing rankings, that's what they're based on mainly. And the Ravens, for being the number one seed, in terms of stats and whatnot, look great, but you only have to turn on the tape and watch the games and realize that they're not actually that good a football team. So yeah, they're down in seventh. The Patriots are fifth, and the Kansas City Chiefs are fourth.
Okay, who's the biggest fallers this week?
The Pittsburgh Steelers. Big Ben's, he's done. He's
been done 5 years ago, mate.
Yeah, you're right. He's been done for years, and he just doesn't want to admit it. Like, I'm trying to liken him. Like, what can you say about like a person that just won't let things go? And I'm trying to think of an example here. I don't know, have you seen the film Up, where the man won't let go of his house?
Yes.
So maybe that's what Big Ben's like right now. He won't let the developers build a new house. So he's just staying put. And in the end, he decides to get some balloons and take his house elsewhere. That was a terrible, terrible, terrible analogy. But who cares? This is the great.
Let's move on, shall we?
No one cares.
Let's move on.
The Steelers, they've dropped. I don't expect them to come back up anytime soon.
I think they're in a dire situation. And the Chiefs get to play them again. So, which is going to be fun. Yeah. Who's the biggest risers this week?
The biggest risers? Oh, the Denver Broncos, the Chiefs' opponent this week. They, after a few statement wins in the last two or three weeks, they're rising. They're in the top 20 now. If they beat the Chiefs, they could quite easily be a top 10 team. So I think this leads quite nicely to our preview.
Yeah. So that's strange that they're only snuck into the top 20, though.
Yeah, they were 23rd. There was a lack of respect there. Obviously, they beat the Cowboys a few weeks ago, but then laid an egg against the Eagles the week after. So they've become a bit of a yo-yo team. Same with the Raiders. They're a yo-yo team for these rankings. But coming off a good win against a division foe and a dominating win, they deserve to be where they are right now.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's have a look at the Broncos then, because obviously with the biggest risers there, and obviously this matchup has always been quite tasty, although it's been quite easy over the last, 11 times we've played them. So, but it always had a bit of an edge, obviously, back before, 2015. Prior to that, it was always a heavily contested, that the Chiefs were always battling it out with the Broncos for the AFC West. But it's not been the case, obviously, for the last 11 straight games against the Broncos. But so Tom and I are going to be looking at this game with a bit more of shared respect, shall we say, for this game after the recent results from the Broncos.
I think it's a team I respect in general, the Denver Broncos. Really? Yeah, I don't like them, but I respect them. Like, I feel like they are the only worthy divisional foe. Like, right. At least they do something from time to time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they go through stages of being good, and they're like us. They go through stages of being good. Obviously, we're on a massively consistent run of being good now. We've been good since Andy Reid come into town. But the Broncos, you always know eventually they're going to get good. And you can't say the same about the Chargers. You certainly can't say the same about the Raiders. The Broncos have always been a worthy opponent. And so I look at the Broncos and thinking, yeah, I quite like it when the Chiefs play the Broncos. Like, I think back to that game. I think it was in 2016. I think it was Tyreek Hill's rookie year. And it was the Justin Houston versus Von Miller game in Denver. And it was the doink game. And that for me is one of my favorite all-time NFL games. That Sunday night football, it was an absolute classic. And there's been a few of them. The last time they beat us on Thursday night football, Red Thursday in 2015, obviously the famous Jamal Charles fumble, that was a hell of a game. We had some good battles with Peyton Manning. I look at the Broncos now and I see them as what we were before we took over. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying that they're going to take over the Chiefs. They're not. But when Peyton Manning was in Denver, the first couple of years, he always had the Chiefs at arm's length. And that's what I feel like the Chiefs have the Broncos at now. They're good. They're a good team. But the Chiefs have them at arm's length, similarly to how Peyton Manning had us at arm's length. And everyone likes to go on about the 2015 the fact that that was the last time they beat us. Yes, it was great. And it was really, it's great that that was the last time that they beat us. But let's not mention 2015 too much, because what happened that year? They won the Super Bowl. So when we start talking about the Broncos, let's talk about it from 2016 onwards, shall we? That's a lot more fun.
when the demise really started, mentioning the respect that you've just mentioned there, the Broncos went 5 AFC West in a row, didn't they? And currently the Chiefs are AFC West champions 5 seasons in a row as well, going for our 6th, hopefully. Yeah. So you're right. You know, it's always been something that both teams have been, they've been doing something in this AFC West rather than just being the people on the coattails, you know, taking that easy ride and not actually doing anything during that time.
The Phil Rivers type.
The Phil Rivers type, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's Hall of Fame caliber, him, by the way. but yeah, like we said, the respect is there, but it's nice to have that number on them, doesn't it? But
sure.
I just wanted to pull up a few funny kind of little stats that I kind of found out whilst we've been thumping the Broncos over these last 11 games. And obviously we know that the last game where they won was 17th of September, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
2015. And so far, the Broncos have never beaten the Chiefs during the Trump or Biden presidency.
Wow.
There's been 3 presidents since they've actually, since the last time they beat us. Yeah, so that's quite fun. And also the Broncos have started 11 quarterbacks since 2015. Started 11 quarterbacks. It just had me thinking though. The Chiefs must have started about 3-4. Would you say that? 4?
4. Yeah, cuz you've got
Matt Moore as well. He started.
Henney, Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Actually, no. Nick Foles has started a game in that time as well, because in 2016 he started a game against the Colts, I believe, which Alex Smith was out.
Ah, right.
So we've had 5.
Probably 5. Yeah.
Only 2 of them have been actually a designated starter. Like the other 3 have been backups. How many of those 11 quarterbacks the Broncos have started were actually their starting quarterback? You probably got like 8 or 9 of them.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But it's crazy to think, you know, that the Chiefs have been on this long run at the moment and hopefully going for 12 in a row. But looking back at the games that they've seen so far this season from the Broncos, I mean, we all thought they were going to be whipping boys, didn't we? We all thought that they needed a quarterback. They needed a quarterback, which we thought that they were either going to be in for the likes of Deshaun Watson or for Aaron Rodgers or possibly even Russell Wilson, weren't we? Mm-hmm. If that all plays out, that's happening, all the rumors that are happening at the Seahawks at the moment. But to have them here at the moment, still in the hunt, I'm a little bit nervous about this team. I don't know about what you think, mate.
Yeah, I'm nervous because they're fairly solid. The roster is absolutely loaded. In terms of on the defensive side of the ball, in terms of offensive skill position talent, they are loaded. They can punch with anyone. The problem has been, well, it's not that he's necessarily been a problem, is the quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater has been fine, but he's not an elevate a team type quarterback. You look at his stat lines for this year, 2,500 yards, 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, quarterback rating of 98. Like, it's a... I hate to say it, an Alex Smith, early Alex Smith type lining, which is good and it's fine. It wins them games. But when they've got into some close games, they've come out a bit wanting because of it, because they've had these offensive performances which haven't lived up to the offensive talent they have. You look at the receivers they've got, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant at tight end. There's so many good receiving options in Denver now, that when you talk about those 3 quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, if they do become available next offseason, they're going to look at Denver and thinking, that is a place I can win, despite Patrick Mahomes. Having those offensive weapons and having that defense on the other side of the ball, they're going to look at Denver as this potential destination where they can win the Super Bowl, and rightly so.
You got that out finally.
Finally. let's not tell the Chiefs Kingdom how many takes that took.
I've had to edit that for the last 30 minutes. Brad Simcox, the man that makes Tom Childs sound good. Okay, then, so let's look at the past game that they had, the last game against the Chargers. Like we said, we thought the Chargers were going to be the team that were going to keep the pressure on the Chiefs for the AFC West. And I chalked this up as a Chargers win. I must admit, I did actually chalk it up as that. But actually watching the game, and I watched it back actually this afternoon, and there was a lot went wrong with the Chargers in that game. I mean, yes, the Broncos defense seemed to snuff out a lot of it, and they seemed to play this zone type of defense, this cover two zone, where they can really adapt to either a running game or a passing game very quickly on the fly as well, which was something that quite surprised me. I thought, you know, putting it in like a Chiefs perspective, I thought, you know what, we could probably slice and dice this defense pretty well. But it did concern me a bit because, yes, the Chargers have got a good running attack in Eckler, but also they've got a really good passing attack, and especially the way that that Herbert's been previous to this game. You know, Herbert is one of those star quarterbacks that, you know, you have to respect because his game is so good. But the receivers were dropping so much. The offensive line was holding too much as well, causing a lot of the penalty plays. And it was just, I don't know if it's the fact that it was just the Broncos were really good in that game, or whether it was the fact that the Chargers were pretty poor in this game, to say the least.
I think it's a bit of both. Vic Fangio's defenses are a lot of fun to watch. There's a reason why he has that job in Denver is because of what he did with the Chicago Bears defense when they first signed Khalil Mack, and that defense was incredible. And the Broncos defense hasn't been as good as that, but they're still really, really good. They made life hell for Justin Herbert on Sunday, he certainly didn't help his team. He had a couple of decisions which were awful. The two picks that he threw to Patrick Surtain, one went off Eckler's hands and maybe should have been caught, but it was slightly behind him, and the other one was just a dumb throw from Justin Herbert, and Surtain was just like, thank you very much, I'll move on to the next one. So overall, I don't think it was a shocking result.
No, I
think they're so evenly matched that I wouldn't sit here and say, oh, the Chargers are definitely better than the Broncos. Remember, divisional opponents matter. Familiarity does matter. And we'll see that this weekend when Andy Reid gets to go against the Broncos once again. But even still, you look at the Broncos against the Chargers and they scored 28 points, but Bridgewater only threw for 129 yards. Yes, he went out for a little bit and Drew Lock had to come in. Melvin Gordon rushed for 83 yards. Their highest receiver was Williams, who got 57 yards. Like, it's not like there was world-beating stats there. It's just that they were better prepared and more well-organized than the Chargers were.
So looking at the matchup against the Chiefs, do we think we're going to see a similar defensive scheme from the Broncos?
I think they're trying to get after Patrick Mahomes. Bradley Chubb has already said this week, getting after Mahomes is key. It's just how many guys do they send to get after him. Obviously, a lot of teams are sending four to rush Patrick Mahomes, but the Chiefs are starting to get a little bit wise to it. They're starting to get a little bit better against that four-man rush and seven-man in coverage. So will they blitz a little bit more? Potentially. Vic Fangio likes to blitz. He blitzed a lot when he was in Chicago, less so since he's been in Denver. But I don't imagine they do. I can't imagine a world where any defensive coordinator is going to watch what's been happening to the Chiefs offense and think, oh, you know what, I'm going to start sending 5-6 guys after Mahomes. Yeah. It just seems like crazy. Like, if it isn't broken, why fix it? And at the moment, the Chiefs offense, yes, they're getting theirs in bunches, but they're also going through long periods of games where they're not having much success at all. And that typically comes from when they are dropping seven men into coverage and playing this two deep, five men under defense.
Yeah, I know Andy Reid was asked recently in the press conference that are we going to be seeing Clyde Edwards-Helaire more in the passing game? And I think this is the kind of game that you've got to look at in this matchup, that that you start using your running back as a receiver in this kind of game to try and open things up a little bit more. I know they tried using Eckler quite a bit, the Chargers didn't, in the previous game, to try and open that up a bit and get a bit of breathing room, you know, using the flats and using the slants and what have you, just to try and mix it up a little bit. But do you think Reid is actually looking at that and thinking, do you know what, we probably don't need to do that, especially with the, you know, the likes of the fact we've got Kelsey there, You know, Tyreek Hill and probably Gordon, who's going to be one of those big players that I hope we see a bit more from Gordon in this game. Yes, use the run game as much as we can with Edwards-Helaire, but not heavily rely on it.
See, the Broncos have struggled against the run a little bit of late, and teams seem to be gashing them on the run. So why not just use Clyde Edwards-Helaire up the middle? Like,
if just smash through the middle,
Just smash through. Like, we've got such a good interior offensive line. Why not use them? And if you want to leak him out every now and then for catching passes, then do it. I think the key for the Chiefs offensively this week is variety. And it has to be all sorts of shots. It can be running up the middle. It can be screen plays. It can be passes out the backfield into the flats. It can be Kelce in the middle. It can be Tyreek Hill deep. Just, I think this week we're going to see like the whole repertoire of the Chiefs offense, because they've had the week off as well. And we know how good Andy Reid is after the bye. Everyone talks about it. It will be mentioned on the broadcast a million and one times, Andy Reid off the bye. We know it happened. And so I think we're now in a situation where the Chiefs know that what teams are going to do against them. They've had time to study it. So the best way to attack that is to mix it up. Get the team guessing every now and then. Show a heavy formation, but pass out of it. Like, just do some crazy stuff every now and then. And I think using Clyde Edwards-Helaire, using his full array of talents, is probably the best way to go.
Not crazy stuff like having Kelce as a wildcat, no?
Oh, I love that. I'm okay with that. I'm okay.
You're okay with that?
They keep it simple. When they keep it simple, where they just say, right, Travis Kelce, run behind the offensive line like they did against the Cowboys, I'm absolutely fine with that. It's when they try getting like Travis Kelce to make decisions and throw passes and all sorts of like that.
That's moving parts and a lot of moving parts with flicks and runs and, you know, a bit of Shazam, you know, all that kind of. Yeah, no, and I agree with you on that. have some trick plays in there, but keep it simple. Just keep it simple. All right then, mate. Ones to watch in this game. I'm going to go with Melvin Gordon, I think, for the Broncos, because he was quite effective against the Chargers. He is the way he was juking through that middle and picking out the holes. I think Melvin Gordon, his yards per attempt this year at the moment is 4.5, which, is not to be sniffed at, not to be laughed at. That's a pretty darn good stat. And we know the Chiefs have always had that issue with the run game at the beginning of the season, but it does look like they've addressed that issue. But I still think a player like Melvin Gordon is one of those players who will help the Broncos run this clock down a lot more and run the game a lot more.
I like Javonte Williams. I think he's really entertaining.
Williams look good.
If I'm Denver, I make Javonte Williams the lead back.
He's elusive, isn't he?
All down back. Yeah, he can catch the ball. He can run the ball. I just think he's a lot more entertaining than Melvin Gordon ever was.
And you'd have a lot of fun if you were an offensive coordinator with him.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. My one to watch for the Broncos is the entire offensive line.
Going one player.
They finished the game against the Chargers with four backups in. And if they have got, say, three backups in, then you just, like, the way this Chiefs offensive line is playing at the moment, you can just imagine, like, Steve Spagnuolo having the best time. He's just gonna have one of those days where it's just all gonna be firing. Remember, they're coming off such a hot performance against the Cowboys as well, where they were dominant, and I expect that to roll through to Sunday. I don't expect Teddy Bridgewater to have a fun time whatsoever, and maybe the counter for the Broncos is to get Gordon and Williams involved early on in the passing game. But I just think the Chiefs defense is trending so far upwards at the moment that it's got to continue. They can't play as well as they have been for 3 or 4 weeks and then revert to the mean that there was September. Like, September has to be a smokescreen. That can't be the Chiefs defense. It just can't be. This Chiefs defense is now healthy, and I think the true version of this defense has to be November's version. If it's not November's version, this team doesn't stand a chance of winning the Super Bowl. If the Chiefs want to win the Super Bowl, they need that version from here on out. And let's see it this week against some backups on the offensive line for the Broncos.
It's no surprise that the Chiefs' defense has improved ever since Melvin Ingram turned up.
Yeah, that's very true.
It really is. I mean, you know, you see an absolute difference in class, I think, from the September Chiefs defense to now. I just think Ingram has been that missing piece, and it's strange, you know, to think that one player can do that, but it really has. The pressure has been brilliant on the quarterbacks, and it's helped with the players in coverage as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's more so not just Melvin Ingram. I think there's a couple of things, like finally moving away from Mike Hughes at corner, realizing that Fenton's a better player. Mm. You're seeing less of Dan Sorensen now than we ever have done. Chris Jones is healthy. That's a big deal. Frank Clark is healthy. That's a big deal. I just feel like Melvin Ingram was a part of the puzzle, but they seem like they found all the pieces of the puzzle at the exact same time. So you had these five pieces that were missing, and Steve Spagnuolo went, oh, they're here. They're under this mat. And they finished the puzzle, and that's what the Chiefs defense is right now.
Like he's lost his car keys.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I found my car keys again. Oh. That's where they were. All right, then. For the Chiefs ones to watch, I've gone with Clyde Edwards-Helaire because he seems to be on everybody's lips at the moment. The media seem to want to know whether he's going to be in the receiving game. And I think at some point the Chiefs will unleash Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the receiving game a lot more. We saw it before when... Williams was quite effective, wasn't he? In the game prior to that one, I think the Chiefs have got it in them, and I think the Chiefs are wanting to use that, but I don't think we quite see it just yet. I think we see it probably more in the playoffs, where we'll see Edwards-Helaire being unleashed in the
receiving.
Yeah,
we said
game,
that last year, though, didn't we?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I know he ended up getting injured, but I remember sitting there, people going, we're going to see the true Edwards-Helaire in the playoffs. Honestly, this offense is coming, it's coming, it's coming. It never happened.
And it didn't.
It never happened. My one to watch is Chris Jones. I'm ready for Chris Jones now to make a run at Defensive Player of the Year because there's no standouts at the moment. There isn't. They're like TJ Watt was a standout early on, but he's kind of come off the boil a little bit. The Steelers defense is nowhere near as good as it was 6-7 weeks ago. Yeah. So I'm sitting there thinking, Chris Jones, you could win me some money. Like, you know,
I was going to say you got a bet on him, haven't you?
if he wins Defensive Player of the Year, $2,500 coming my way. So,
wow. I hope you do it, mate. I hope you get it.
But he's only going to win it if narratives start to be built. And they can be built on platforms. So let's start campaigns right now. Let's start a campaign for Chris Jones to be Defensive Player of the Year. And he needs to back that up for us. He had a stupidly good game against the Cowboys. He was phenomenal. Let's back it up with another primetime game showing. Let's show up on Sunday Night Football. Let's get everyone talking about Chris Jones dominating the Broncos offensive line and dominating Teddy Bridgewater. Let's see that. And then the conversations will start to happen next Monday on Tuesday. And then we'll bring it up next Tuesday and Wednesday. And all of a sudden, all this hype for Chris Jones winning Defensive Player of the Year. And then guess what? 2 months' time, I'm a bit richer than I was yesterday.
And Zachary gets a new cot. Gets a new cot, bless him. All right, then predictions. I've gone for the Chiefs 28, Broncos 10 in this game.
I really want to pick a blowout. But
you?
I do want to pick a blowout. But the Chiefs really struggled with the Broncos last year.
They did.
They've only won 22-16. And Harrison Butker had to kick 5 field goals for the Chiefs to win. And it was a nail-biter in the end. I think the defense
was
had
a nail-biter. Yeah.
And it was a nail-biter that no one was expecting. And I think part of it was how good Vic Fangio's defenses are.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick a blowout. Right. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do
it.
Just
do it, mate.
I'm going to do it. Because I'm putting faith in the Chiefs defense being legit and Andy Reid off the bye. This is what I reckon. I am putting money on the fact that the Chiefs offense is going to come out the bye all firing, all singing, all dancing because they've had that time to reset, evaluate a few things and go again. So I think the Chiefs are going to win 38-13.
38-13?
Yeah, I do. I don't know why. I feel stupid already for picking that. But saying that, I am leading the Arrowhead Pride season predictions. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. Something right. I don't know how you've done that because every time the predictions you put on this show, you haven't got them right.
Hey. I back. No. I have you know, I lay in my bed. The prediction I make on this show is the one I take to the prediction article on Saturday.
A couple of times
I've wanted to change it. Believe me, I've really wanted to change it. I haven't. I thought, I've got it on record. People who listen to the show know what I've said. I can't then go and change it 3 days later. So I've backed it up now. I've said it. It's my prediction. All manner of things could happen in the next few days, but I'm still not changing my prediction. Chiefs are going to win 38-13.
38-13. You heard it here first. Right. That's all we've got time for this week. If you've enjoyed the show, please feel free to leave us a rating and review. Tom and I are obviously here every Wednesday. And remember, you can also listen to more Chiefs-related content here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. But all that's left to say here is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah, familiarity. How do you say the word? Familiarity.
What a bummer.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.